Voice casting websites are something of a double-edged sword in the modern voiceover business. Some might even say a necessary evil, or worse. But among their better features, one of the really good things these sites enable a producer to do is to select the accent they want for their project. The problem, of course, is that not all accents are the genuine article. Many of my American and Australian counterparts in the voiceover industry will list a British accent among their repertoire on such websites, just as a good number of my fellow Brits will list an American or Australian accent among theirs. But as a producer, one of the things which will always show your production values as being lower than you would like in the media business is a bad accent, i.e. one which is poorly performed. And the problem is that while a non-native speaker might not be able to tell the difference, anyone who grew up with that accent will immediately spot it as a ringer. Once that happens, your message is dead in the water. No one's listening to the words in your spot anymore. They're just marvelling at how it ever got on air in the first place. Bad accents are nothing new, of course, and they vary in their degrees of cringeworthiness. Dick Van Dyke struck a blow for the cause with his famously bad Mockney in the film version of Mary Poppins, and it could be argued that we got our own back to some degree with Michael Crawford's effort in Hello, Dolly! A few years later. This would probably have been much more noticeable if the audience weren't aghast at a young Barbara Streisand playing a role clearly 30 years her senior, but I digress. The accents performed by non-native speakers aren't all that bad, admittedly, but I'm always intrigued when I see a British accent listed on a non-native's demo list, and truth be told, I'm almost always disappointed by the results, chucklesome though they often are. In the interests of transparency, I do list an Australian accent as one of the things I can perform, but then I lived with an Aussie at very close quarters for 6 years, and I feel I can capture the nuance without going over the top and turning into Crocodile Dundee or Rolf Harris. The Australian Tourism Board apparently agreed when they booked me for a series of Canadian TV spots last year, so fair dues. All this notwithstanding, I always try to be honest about my abilities or lack thereof, and as such, I've turned down the invitation to wow the audience with my, frankly laughable, English North American on more than one occasion. That said, in the interests of doing my bit for the special relationship, I've just married one, so it's not out of the question as we go forward. Anyway, back to the point. Stephen Lowell is the Community Development Manager at voice123.com, one of the largest voice casting websites in the industry today, and he's just written about exactly this in his blog. He cites American voice talent who claim British English as a native language, when in fact they can only perform a British accent, as one of the reasons that producers often feel insulted at the quality of the auditions they get back. In his piece, entitled Faking It Just Isn't Making It, Lowell says, "As a voice seeker posting a job, remember that details are key to the success of what you receive. Specifically choosing a native speaking language of a country will get you mostly what you want, but it helps to specify native speakers only in the project description." And he makes a very valid point. So, next time you're looking for an authentic accent, make sure you check out the credentials of the talent. Always get a sample read by way of a demo. This should always be free of charge. And make sure someone who knows that accent backwards thinks it's on the money. Otherwise, truth be told, you're probably wasting yours. My name's Mike Cooper, and I'm a voiceover artist working in London, England. You've been listening to an audio version of my blog, which you can read online at gobsonsticks.com, and add your comments, of course. Thanks for listening.